Well, today being Pentecost Sunday, you know, is not only the birthday of the church, but something more profound. The Holy Spirit arrived as a permanent fixture. Now, the Holy Spirit's been around for eternity. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came and went, but did not stay. However, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit arrived, and the Holy Spirit has not left. It is a part and parcel, an integral part of the church. In essence, the Holy Spirit is the heavenly hospital to provide the spiritual pulse beat for the church. Originally, I had it in my sermon here to say that the Holy Spirit's like Mayo Clinic. It's our medication for the faith, or our clinic for the faith. I thought that's a little too cheesy to include that in, but I said it anyway. Hopefully this sermon will also disclose some common sense about the role of the Holy Spirit. There's been so much misinformation about the Holy Spirit for forever, but the Holy Spirit in this contemporary setting today, we could say the Holy Spirit is our counselor and has become a very frequently used title, unfortunately, by some people. And they make the Holy Spirit into almost a magician. The Holy Spirit is not a magician. It's the third personality of the Holy Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember that. There are various types of different things today circulating, such as therapy and counseling, and I don't disavow it one bit at all. There's marriage counseling, there's guidance counseling, drug counseling, vocational counseling, rehabilitation counseling, and plus many, many more. They are in ever-increasing numbers. The other day, I saw a new one that popped up. It's called a computer counselor. Whatever that is, you can investigate it on your own. In recent years, counseling has become very much part of our lives. 1 in 10 people are said to be currently seeing a counselor or a psychiatrist, and there's nothing wrong with that. Ministers who enter seminary, they're required to take, they call it pastoral care and counseling. Now, if I had to do seminary over again, I would probably take 90% of my classes in counseling and pastoral care. Now, people say, well, you preach. Preaching's just a sliver of the minister's vocation. Counseling, it's just like every day. I counsel someone, whether it's here or it's far away or whatever. I mean, last night I was on the phone with someone whose husband had to be rushed to the hospital. He's got a fatty liver, and 15% of his heart is only functioning. So I hope things work out for them. She's supposed to let me know today. And I knew him. He was a good friend of mine back at a former church, and he's in the hospital right now. But you know, counseling, when you hear that term, it has lost the social stigma that it had 60 years ago. And it's become a normal way of life for most people. 60 years ago, if you said you were going to a counselor or a psychiatrist, people would look at you and, are you losing it or have you lost it? That was the usual thought, whether it was verbalized or not about it. Fortunately, it's not that way now. In addition to professional counseling, we all receive advice from family, friends, work colleagues, or even psychiatrists now. Any intelligent person realizes the value of other people's insight. We must continually look for more information to make intelligent decisions and to always consult others for help if possible. If we don't do such a thing, then it could be our misfortune in the long run. You know, normally ministers handle crisis issues in people's lives and may refer such individuals to appropriate professional counselors. If I am talking to somebody and I see that, let's say, I know my limitations, and if I see that there's a point reached where I think I'd better make sure, look in my, we used to call it a Rolodex file, but I'll look in my directory and see who I could refer this person to. Why? I don't want to mess up any further what's going on in their minds, because it can happen. And there's a lot of ministers who have dilly-dallied around with people's psyche, and it's messed them up worse than they were when they came in. So I'm very careful and cautious. I'm even cautious about calling it counseling, because you can get a good lawsuit going nowadays to what it used to be. And so it's possible. And, you know, what defines this role of a counselor? The counselor has a personal concern for others and is hopefully compassionate too. And you know, you think about this, even in a church worship service, such a possibility exists too. A lot of people will say they left the service and they felt like that the Lord spoke to them, whether it was the hymns or the prayer confession or the sermon or whatever, and it helped them out so much. Harry Emerson Fosdick, the late minister at the Riverside Church in New York City, said that preaching was counseling in a large group setting. And I think that's true in a lot of ways, because people come to listen and to seek some help. Every one of us need that. And how true those words are Fosdick's. However, the foundation for counselor or counseling is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in a completely religious context. Numerous definitions are used in the Bible to describe the Holy Spirit, but what stands out most clearly today about the Holy Spirit is that the third personality of the Holy Trinity is called counselor very, or if not most frequently. Well, what does it mean that God, by the way of the Holy Spirit, is our counselor? Well, the Greek word is called paraclete, which means called to the side of. In essence, the Holy Spirit is beside us, or plus within us, to give us strength or fortitude. For example, if there's a sudden tragedy in someone's life, the instinct is not to be left in solitary confinement, but to have someone there to give us courage. When people face delicate or controversial decisions, they often don't want to think about it alone. An intelligent person desires input from other people as they intelligently go about making various decisions. So people will usually call upon someone to be in their presence to assist them and to sort their thoughts out. Stumped with a problem? Well, first of all, you should go to God about it and ask God through the Holy Spirit to give you the right discernment and even the solution and the finishing product. Because a lot of times, if we do it on our own whim, we can really make a terrible mistake. But I'm also of the belief that God, through the Holy Spirit, can send people into our lives to help us and to allow them to share with us various things that may have happened to them, and they're good and beneficial for you at the moment. So don't always say that you're waiting on the Holy Spirit when God may have already sent somebody to you to help you out. God does use human beings to do so. And that is what the word counselor means, is to call someone to be at our side to give strength and help us sort out our decisions. Well, when we think of the Holy Spirit as counselor, this means that He is personally concerned about us. Think about that. That God, the Holy Spirit, is our counselor, is not a detached bystander whatsoever, such as a psychologist who listens politely for 50 minutes, asks for a payment, and then wants us to depart so the next patient can come in. That isn't the way the Holy Spirit is or works. God is always concerned about what is best for us. We are free to tell God through the Holy Spirit everything, even when we've done wrongly. And that is a comforting thought when some people preach that God does not hear the prayers of a sinner. That throw that belief right out the window. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, our counselor, is to help us grow towards maturity and wholeness. The Holy Spirit is the facilitator of spiritual growth and maturity within us. He will guide us to seek the truth and to better understand our Lord. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, our lives will be directed into new avenues of dealing with life's imperfections and dilemmas. Again, what does it mean for us to have the Holy Spirit as our counselor? God is present always, and there are no busy signals or answer machines. Remember, there is no problem or dilemma too big nor complicated for God. This goes back to the book of Genesis. You know, there's numerous verses in the Old Testament which says, is the arm of the Lord too short? Absolutely not. There's so much, if you would look in the concordance of your Bible, and you can find those verses where it gives comfort to all of us, and it continues to this day. It isn't only the big issues of life, but the dozens of other irritating potholes that are important to God too. And I'm as disappointed as any person who thinks, well, I have to wait till the biggie hits before I go to God with it. No, God wants us to even share with him about a lot of problems and troubles in which we are facing. Now, we'll think, oh, well, maybe God doesn't really have the time to listen. God has all the time in the world. God doesn't use a clock or a watch as we do. God is available 24/7, and don't forget it. Having trouble sleeping at night? Think about your day and think about issues that may have arisen, or think about, well, maybe future issues. You know, sometimes we make mountains out of molehills when we start thinking about something that may happen the next day. It's said 99% of what we think is going to happen does not come into realization. And I think that's very true. But we get paranoid and we start thinking about those things. And we just think, oh, I've got to carry that burden alone. God can remove that burden through the Holy Spirit and help us through the thick and thin. Nothing is too insignificant for God. Don't ever forget that. God is such a big God. God is not limited as we are. So have a problem, have a situation, whether it's with family, friends, colleagues, whatever it is, God will be there and you can share that with God. And there's no charge. All you have to do is just come to God with a sincere heart and say, God, I'm going to have help with this, and you're the only one that can help me. And God will come to your help and aid. God knows our every needs. God's Holy Spirit lives inside of us to counsel and guide us in the way of truth. I met a person one time who said, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet? I won't tell you what background they came from. And I said, yes, I did. When I made a profession of faith, the Holy Spirit came to me then. I have not had to go searching for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to me. And that's the marvelous thing about God. God doesn't have to wait on us to make the decision. God will help us out on that. And so always remember, you are never separated from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be with us until the day we die and even escort us into heaven. So never be afraid of that. God's Holy Spirit does live within inside of us to counsel and guide us in the way of truth. Don't be afraid or concerned of being abandoned ever. That is what a lot of people are afraid of, and that's bad theology also. Think about that. God has taken care of that matter through the Holy Spirit. And also think about this. Hasn't God taken care of you so far? You think God's about ready to pull the plug or close the door on you? No. God is with us all the time through the Holy Spirit. So on this Pentecost Sunday, give praise to God that God was insightful enough to bless us with the third personality of the Holy Trinity named the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, on this Sunday that's called Pentecost, we are grateful to be here today to know that you thought of us, that we needed a comforter with us, one who would teach us all things. When we feel limited, we know that we can count on the Holy Spirit to give us the thoughts and insight that will make it better. Help us, O God, to never forget about that. And if we have problems, and when we have them and they arise, let us turn to the Holy Spirit, who will give us the comfort and grace that we need at such a perilous time. Help those in the congregation today who are facing high walls of problems, barriers that seem insurmountable, that cannot seem to be penetrated. But we know through the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. And we give thanks always because we know that your arm is never too short to come to our assistance. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.